Amatzia, the king of Yehuda, is rising high. He is a religious man, at least where it counts in terms of observance. He has won major battle against Edom for the first time in several generations, and he gets a little puffed up with his own success. Az shalach Amatzia malochim el Yehoash ben Yehoachaz ben Yehu melech Yisrael lemor. So it is now that Amatzia sends messengers to Yehoash, the son of Yehoachaz, the son of Yehu, the king of Yisrael, saying, Lecha nisra efonim. Let us go and literally see each other's faces, which is just a colloquialism for let us go confront each other. In fact, Josephus talks about this in his Antiquities. He says, now upon the victory which Amatzia had won and the great acts he had done, he was puffed up in a vein of insolence, writes Josephus. He wrote to Yoash, the king of Israel, and commanded that he and all his people should be obedient to him, as they had formerly been obedient to his progenitors, David and Shlomo. And he let him know that if he would not be so wise as to do what he commanded him, he must fight for his dominion. Now that might be sort of a fanciful retelling of what we are seeing, but if you read the words, you see a little bit of the kind of chutzpah inherent in them. Because Pasuk Tes, Vayishlach Yehoash Melech Yisrael el Amatziahu Melech Yehuda lemor, Yehoash the king of Yisrael answered Amatziah the king of Yehuda, and he said, Hachoach asher ba'levanon. He answers with a metaphor. He said, the thorn bush that is in Lebanon, Shalach el ha'erez asher ba'levanon lemor, sent to the cedar that is in Lebanon, saying, Tana es bitcha livni le'isha, give your daughter over to my son for a wife. Vatavar chayas hasoda asher ba'levanon. And instead, the beast of the field that is in Lebanon, Batirmos es hachoach, went and trampled the thorn bush. So he elaborates, Yud hakei hikisa es Edom. Now that you have defeated Edom, indeed you have defeated them. Unsa'acha libecha, your heart has raised you up. Hikaved b'shei b'veisecha, keep your kavod, preserve your honor. Literally, be heavy. Meaning, make your limbs heavy, maybe. Sit still. But it's about the covet. Keep your covet and stay in your house. Stay home. Why are you starting up with trouble? As we would say, why are you starting trouble? You will fall. You and Yehuda with you. So, Yehoash is comparing himself to a cedar. He's comparing Amatzia to a thorn bush. The message is that Amatzia is insulting, even in suggesting that they could somehow confront each other. Now, some interpret let us see each other as being let us make an alliance between ourselves. So there are those in the Mefarshim who try to give it a positive spin and say he saw himself as more powerful and important than he was, but he wasn't doing it to start a war. He was doing it to start an alliance. Now, maybe a military alliance. Rashi says ba milchama, which implies that they're going to fight each other. But others say that maybe it could be a marital alliance. Arrange a marriage. But it is also an allusion to a different historical moment when Hamor HaChiti, father of Shechem, proposed that his son marry Dina Bas Yaakov. That's Ephraim. That's the connection way back to the top. The lowly Chivim were unworthy of marrying into Beis Yaakov. He was so inferior that it's an absurdity to even suggest it. So Yehoash is saying, your challenge is unforgivable. Either you're challenging us to make an alliance, which you are not worthy to have, or you're challenging us to a war, which you will absolutely never win, but I'm going to let you back down. I'm going to let you go home. Just sit at home. Sit tight. And don't start trouble. Some speculate that he was saying make a military alliance and we'll attack Lebanon will go north. But either way, it's kind of a... his ego is writing checks that his soldiers can't cash. So, alliance or conflict, either way, he's starting up with the wrong guys. And the North is saying, we're going to trample you down. Now, why does Yehoash think of himself as superior to Amatzia? Because Yisrael looked down upon Yehuda. And they didn't look down upon Yehuda just because of the smaller size of their kingdom, or because they are the ones that have been abandoned by Yisrael, but also because they are not descendants necessarily of David and Shlomo, they're descendants of Achav and Izebel. And Yehu had been sent to destroy Achav and Izebel. So there's a family issue here, says the Me'am Loes. My family, Yehu's dynasty, destroyed Achav's dynasty. And Achav is who you want to emulate? You want to start trouble with us? Ahaziah is following the evil ways of his maternal ancestors who came from Beis Achav. Now remember, of course, Achav was in Yisrael, but he had family members. Maybe this is the natural result of what happens when the two kingdoms intermarried in the families with each other, is they became a little bit too tightly connected. So it's a radical change in the relationship between Yehuda and Yisrael. During the first few decades, there's open hostility. Right? With Rechavam, and then Rechavam Shil Asa. And then, when Omri becomes king, there's peace and brotherhood and intermarriage between the two dynasties. The Beis HaMikdash is losing its importance for all of them. The center, says the Me'am Loes, of faith and of piety was now in the B'nai HaNaviim, in the schools of the prophets, Eliyahu and Elisha. And now we're in a third period. So we went through the first period of hostility, the second period of Beis Omri, of somewhat peace and coexistence, detente. And now the dynasty of Yehu, where the idolatry has been purged, but the positive relationship with Beis David had been destroyed. So Yehu considers himself legitimate when he's really not. And by now, Yehu's descendants are reverting to the sins of their predecessors. The hatred between Yisrael and Yehuda has flared up again, brother against brother, and now Amatzia is the king at exactly the worst time when he starts to provoke things. But Amatzia, as we're about to see, is not going to listen.